You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mail It In Friday. I think the guys are here.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We got a lot to get into this afternoon.
Lots of sports last night.
Lots of sports.
How did your night go? Like, let's lay it out how your night went as far as couching slash... I mean, I know you'd be agitated with one game, but outside of that, dear...
Yeah, it happens. I mean, the Leaf game... Yeah,
it was a bad game.
Kind of a boring game. I got to give credit to Pittsburgh. I mean, they played that beautifully. I don't know if that was their intention or not.
They dumbed it down. They bored it down. They did whatever. And
Murray,
it was ugly. Go
that's
ahead.
The best I've seen Matt Murray play in a long time.
Played really well.
No
very
kidding.
Well. Yeah.
Couple big saves.
Played really well. I mean, that was... But it wasn't... Considering the two teams and the star power, I was hoping for a 5-4 back and forth game. It just didn't happen.
It was a yawner at 1-0.
Yeah, and you could kind of tell. Like by the end of the first, you're like, this is not going to open up anytime soon. It didn't feel like it at any point where it was just all of a sudden all hell was going to break loose.
It didn't feel like the shots were 38-37.
No, it didn't. I was surprised by that. By the end of the night, I'm like, when did those shots happen?
It was a lot of. Well, the shots were 38-37, I believe, for Pittsburgh. But it's there were a lot.
I don't think I saw 35 shots the whole game.
But there were a lot of stuff being thrown towards the net. Like that's the one thing. Both sides were just throwing things towards the net, bounces here and there. Like I say, I thought Murray made a couple real timely good saves. Had a couple, we'll call it lucky bounces, but you need that when you're having a game. And he had a game last night.
Right? And it was one of those games where if I'm coaching and Mike Babcock's done this, done that, gold medals, Stanley Cups. But there would be a certain amount of time left in the game where I'm like, I don't care about people's feelings. I got to just mix it up. And Austin Matthews, go out there with John Tavares and Mitch Marner. Or Nazem Kadri, go play with so-and-so. Or just, what do they call it, the jumbo ball or mix up the bingo balls? Just
like the blender.
Because nothing was working. And it's like, if you continue to roll out there that doesn't work, it's like you got to come up with something that's just... It might shock the defenders, the defense coach, I don't know. But it would have been one of those throwaway nights where I'm like, okay, you guys got nothing, so I got to try that.
How do you guys feel about the goalie being pulled with over 3 minutes?
I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a fan.
I know the analytics, but personally, I hate it. I hate it when you have firepower. Like they have. I know. Like if you're Arizona, who they actually scored 4 last night, but they haven't been able to score. I could see where Rick Tocchet, it's like, we got to do something here. Like we can't score. We literally can't score. So let's pull the goalie here. I know the analytics. I know what the numbers tell you. But I hate when they pull the goalie too soon.
I think I talked with you guys about it because Jim Montgomery from Dallas did it at 7:50 the other day in Ottawa.
Now, they were down 1, though. They were
down 2.
Yes.
Still, doesn't matter. If you said in 8 minutes in any NHL game, one team wasn't going to get a shot on goal, that's more rare than anything. So I didn't like it. I know there's been studies done, but you also have to have a feel. And I didn't mind Jim Montgomery's comments because he said, I had a feeling that they kind of had one line going that night as Dallas.
That was Dallas, yeah.
So they had one line going. So you get that line out, you can pull the goalie. You can put the goalie back in, and that's what they did about in the 5 o'clock or the 5 minute mark. So you can do it if you've got a feeling like, hey, we're having a big push. And Dallas, I think, generated like 8 shots on goal or 8 shot attempts to 1, and Ottawa missed. I still think I don't like it personally because I think it can backfire just as easily as you get that. Or even easier than you get that equalizing goal.
Absolutely.
So
it's way more easy to score on an empty net, even if you're down 6-5 in terms of men on the ice, than it is to score if you have the extra man, but there's a goaltender in the net.
But I will say this. Times have changed. It used to be around a minute. Then it got to like 70 seconds and then 90 seconds. Now you're at 2.5, and if you're down 1 goal and 2.5 is there, everyone's expecting it. You're watching for it now.
Everybody's doing it now. Much like every other analytic or stat.
Well, what's their success rate? What is the information that says it's so good?
Well, it's not about that. It's the analytics would tell you this is how much time you have. I don't know. It's too complex to get into in the radio. But what I'm the point I'm trying to make here is what these general stats that everyone apply doesn't take into consideration is who the opposition is.
Right.
Pittsburgh's too good not to get the puck out of their end with Crosby on the ice and Malkin on. Yeah. And if you give them a half a and step, it's in.
Yeah,
it's in. They'll score from behind their own net.
And Gino Malkin, you saw him physically like that. Him bully through. I know Kadri put it in his own net, but Malkin was gonna score that goal anyways. Like he skated through two guys, like physically. You're right. You have to know who you're playing against and identify that you can dummy him in their own zone, and you have to know your own team. We were just talking about if you're gonna throw guys in the blender. The Leafs have lots of firepower that they could throw at a six spot and look pretty good to hold on to that puck. With 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I like the, you know, minute and a half where you got possession, you got some tired defenders, and then the goalie comes out. I don't know. That's
I don't mind
an old school way of thinking, but I just think that's more effective where you just get it set up where you got the full firepower out there, and then the guy comes off the bench as opposed to just
I see
wrong matchups and you're it doesn't work.
I don't mind 2.5 minutes because to me that's two full shifts.
I like 2.5 minutes, Jamie. If you got full possession and you got some tired guys, then get them out. But not starting a face off in the middle of the ice.
What I'm saying is, if you have let's take the Leafs for example, and you can put out six pretty good players to control that pace. You put out your best guys. That gives me two shifts with a timeout in between if a whistle happens. So I can pretty much run that group for 2.5 minutes if there's a timeout affordable in there. Like that would be my thought process. Now the minute that you start to go anything north of that, all you're doing is taxing those players, and that's where mistakes and turnovers and stuff come. Now if you have more depth, you can run a little bit longer. I think
but you don't want that happening anyway. You don't want your third line out there if you're playing the goalie. It doesn't make sense. But ultimately, that's not why the Leafs lost last night. They didn't really have it, and Pittsburgh played a very smothering forechecking game. Their forecheck was really, really on last night. And
yeah.
The Leafs have St. Louis tomorrow. But in terms of the larger picture of the night, played out the way I thought it was going to in certain areas, in ways that I didn't see it happening in other areas. David Price totally redeemed himself last night. Yeah. Price pitched an absolute gem. And here's another Boston team in the World Series playing for a championship. And someone posted this earlier. Since 2000, the year 2000, Boston has had a representative play in the finals of one of the big four sports just an absurd amount of times.
Really?
In 01, Pats Super Bowl, 03, Pats Super Bowl, 04, Pats Super Bowl, 04, Red Sox World Series, 07, Pats, 07, Red Sox, 08, Celtics, 2010, Celtics, 2011, Bruins,
that's
2011,
ridiculous.
Pats, 2013, Bruins, 2013, Red Sox, 2014, Pats, 2016, Pats, 2017, Pats, now 2018, Red Sox.
Like, that is ridiculous.
If you're a sports fan in that area,
you're bored.
And you have a little bit of money, you've seen some great games because you've gone to all of them.
Well, that's a good point. If you have the money and it's disposable, you're like, I got to get to Fenway. I got to get to this. I'm going to fly to the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know,
it is an embarrassment of riches. I didn't realize that. I did see something on Twitter where they were like, you know, championships and playoffs.
Yeah, there's a little kid that holds up a sign every parade, and he's like, I'm 9 years old. This is my eighth parade.
Most annoying kid on earth.
Yeah, I know.
It's the most annoying kid on earth.
You hate that kid.
I hate that kid. That kid was, there was a kid like that in Houston last night. He had great seats, and he was like 8 years old, and he's a Red Sox fan. I'm like, get out of here. What's that kid doing? Why are you in Houston? You're a Red Sox fan. You're a bandwagon.
He's a trust fund baby.
Probably a bandwagon jumper. That kid's a bandwagon.
His dad's worth $100 million and painted him a sign.
Probably true.
Said here.
But, you know, credit to David Price. He pitched really, really well. And the Red Sox are off to the World Series. So I didn't see Price pitching that well. I thought Houston would win last night. So that was a bit unpredictable. LeBron did what I expected.
Put a show on?
Put on a show early. The Lakers lost. I don't know what to make of them in terms of how good of a team they are. Our boy Nick Stauskas put on a clinic last night. Stauskas went off for 24 points. He was 5-for-8 from 3. Nabil is insufferable insufferable.
So horny about that.
Oh, he was
so horny.
He was on cloud nine last night.
It was Viagra for him last night. Like, yeah. Nabil watching Stauskas just drain threes, he would have been insufferable. He was posting on Instagram.
He's like, I can't watch the highlight pack, and my boy's on the other screen draining threes.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're BFFs.
They are buddies. And
give them a moment.
And Nick's a friend of the show. We love him. And it was nice to see, because I will fully admit this, was not watching that game 1 second. And I got a text from my buddy who lives in L.A. and said, your boy Stauskas is on fire right now.
He stole the show from LeBron.
Which is really cool.
Stole the show from LeBron. He played really well. But LeBron is going to be such a hero this season.
You think so?
Well, after the game, didn't it seem like, oh, welcome to the West, Bron. Everyone with the handshakes, and it's like...
He was mic'd up last night, which, that's cool. You know, so TNT, they were loving it. You know, Chris Webber was calling color last night, and Webber was just fawning over LeBron. And LeBron, one of the huddles included LeBron with a little pep talk, and Webber was just... tearing up over that. But listen, I love LeBron. Yeah. I've been a LeBron apologist for 15 years. But because he's got young players like Ingram, like Ball, like Kuzma,
right,
he is going to play the seasoned vet card all year, and it's going to get really annoying.
He's going to talk down to all of that.
It's going to be, he's going to, you know, chirp at them, and he's going to have his post-game pressers where he's going to be holier than thou, and these kids have to learn, and... I mean, in the end, I think it will benefit the Lakers and benefit the young players, but it's going to be really difficult to endure for a full season.
I got something funny for you, and I'll tie it to it a little bit. Because him talking like that, did you listen to Babcock's presser after the game?
Very similar.
Absolutely.
Like the same soul. That.
Like, you know, well, that's, this team's won cups, and they're young, and, you know, our team's young.
What
and,
is it, kindred souls?
Yeah.
Like, that's what, like, LeBron and Babcock are...
I guess they're just
the same message
cut from the same cloth.
And that's what LeBron's going to do. LeBron's going to say it about the young players all the time. These guys don't know how to win, and until you get there, blah, blah, blah. And Babcock was saying that last night. He was even saying it before the game.
Yeah, he was. He was saying it before the game. So in defense of him, it was more just...
But he couldn't wait to get to that post-game presser.
That one.
Couldn't wait to talk about Crosby and Malkin. And that's the veteran team that knows how to win. And you could tell.
Tight games.
You could see it. It's like, yeah, we get it. Like, we know. We understand it.
But the minute you're saying that about LeBron, I'm like, yeah, I heard that last night from Babs.
That's exactly what it was. Babcock and LeBron. LeBron Babcock and Mike James. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, the exact same message. But I actually, there was some karma that came into my life last night.
Oh, really?
We have, I guess, set off people's Google Homes on this show. When we've talked about saying, okay, Google, or hey, Google, and it sets off Google Home.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've noticed this, but during the ALCS and the NLCS... whether it's Joe Buck or Brian Anderson who calls it for TBS.
Joe Buck's like, what's the population, or how much seating can this place hold?
Yeah, and like all game, he asks Google. Generally, it's about promoting what the next game is. So last night, Brian Anderson in the top of the eighth or whatever goes, hey, Google, when do the Dodgers and Brewers play next? And then Google's like, wow, the Dodgers, my wife is out cold on the couch. She's been asleep for over an hour. We have our Google Home jacked. It's at 100% volume. This idiot goes, hey, Google, what time do the Dodgers and Brewers play? My Google wakes up and answers the question. My wife wakes up like the Undertaker. Like, she's out of nowhere. She's awake, and she's like, what the hell are you doing? She's yelling at me because she thinks I was asking Google what time the game is tomorrow.
That's really... That, so now it's ingenious, though.
It really is. And I would guess that was a part of it. They want to set off everybody's Google
Home. Get everyone talking.
But now I know when people have sent in tweets and texts saying, hey, stop saying, hey, Google, because you're setting off my Google Home. I'm trying to listen to the show. Now I understand what people go through.
I never even crossed my mind about that.
And how often do we say, hey, Google?
Well, we've done bits about it, talking about it. Like, hey, Google, remember? We've said it 15 times right now. People
are probably choked about it.
I guarantee
the other
Google
one, though? What's the, not the Google, the other?
Alexa.
Alexa.
Yeah. But I don't know what you say to wake her up.
Alexa.
That's it?
That's it.
Do you have one?
Yes. Crap.
Do you ever use it?
Oh, I'm like, Alexa, play my iTunes. No, I don't have those. Okay. I'm going to grab it and throw it out the window.
It's the same thing for
you
us.
You know what? Yeah, like, can you please tell me the weather, or tell me what traffic's like on the 401? Like, are you asking about the 401? Yes, I'm at, like, it's, we get annoyed with automated, you call into, you know, electric utilities, and it takes you 20 minutes to get through. That's what we have in our living room.
It's the exact same thing. We complain about it, but now we're endorsing it by...
Yeah, I have mine unplugged. I can't do it because the kid now, we got a 5.5-year-old is...
She'll talk to it all the time.
Okay, Google.
Yeah. It's Steph's little voice. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's true. My daughter's not old enough to understand that, but she tries to talk to it.
Yeah.
And then I have to talk to it to wake it up. And then we ask for like a Moana song and they don't have it. And it's like...
it's annoying.
Then I have to explain that they don't have it. And then we're on YouTube. And then it's like, what are we doing?
You unplug it and you put it in the drawer.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, I was couching in spectacular fashion.
That is actually hilarious.
The original Halloween was on AMC last night, and I actually did watch some of that.
It is terrifying.
How did you feel about the new one? You went to see it, huh?
Yeah, thin. A little thin.
Wasn't great?
It was okay. I'll give him the Randy Carlyle. The just okay.
What is it? The guy gets out of jail or escapes from jail?
No, it's the same thing.
It happened 40 years ago, like the original one, and then the premise is on. I'm not going to have any spoilers.
But is it basically the same script?
The same guy.
The same thing.
No, but Jamie Lee Curtis is... She's a grizzled vet, and she's been haunted by it. So she's like known as like the crazy lady. The boogeyman's coming. He's coming for all you.
Okay.
And then, you know, as predicted, he shows up type of thing. It was a little thinner. But it had a couple moments where you're like, okay, this is decently scary.
Were there a lot of people in the theater?
No, just about 8 creeps like me. Yeah. I went at like 12:30 today, so...
Yeah, that'll do it.
It was like...
Just loser row.
There was one couple in
Not
the back.
Not pervs
and then,
row. Losers.
There's a difference between perverts row and losers row.
Here's one thing I will voice my frustration very quickly on.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an AVX or whatever, like you get the assigned seating. I come in and somebody's sitting in my seat. There's 500 seats in this theater, and this lady is sitting in my seat.
So what did you say? Did you have to kick her out, or did you just pick another seat?
No, I just went and picked another seat, but I just thought it was peculiar that they chose my seat.
Right, and she would have had... She went through the process of picking a seat.
Picked her own seat, but she just decided that mine would be better.
Yeah.
So I didn't...
It's not worth
a
fight over it, but
no.
If it was a packed house, you have to get the hell out of your seat. That happens all the time at sporting events, all the time.
Yeah,
people are totally.
But people are morons. They don't look at their ticket.
We had that a couple weeks ago when we were at the Leafs-Sens game. We walk up. My dad's been in the same seats since the ACC opened.
Yeah,
this guy's like, no, these are my seats. He's like, I'm willing to bet you every penny you have that these are my seats. He's like, no, I'm telling you, we're in a brawl,
like an argument.
It wasn't crazy, but the guy's like, no, this is. I'm like, I guarantee you, these are not your seats.
So what happened? Did the guy pull
eventually?
Out his...
The guy looked. He's like, oh yeah, we're right over here. It's like, thank you.
Okay, no, we'll
just look
up
at your seat instead of fighting. You look at your seat. Look at your tickets again, and I guarantee you're going to move.
Dope.
Anyway, Brian Scalabrine will join us. Massive, massive game tonight down at Scotiabank Arena. The Boston Celtics are in town.
Nice.
So it's Celtics, Raptors. The Raptors, over the past few years, have played really well against Boston. But this is a new-look Raptors team, as we know. And the Celtics continue to grow. You know, Kyrie Irving is healthy. Gordon Hayward, healthy.
Who's the favorite, then? Both coaches.
I'd have to look up the odds. I wonder what Vegas... I'll bet you it's close to a pick.
But both coaches will be saying the other team is the favorite.
Oh, for sure. If you ask Nick Nurse, it'll be the Celtics by 45 tonight. And if you ask Brad Stevens, the Raptors will win by 60.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to work out. So we'll catch up with Brian Scalabrine. We'll get his take on the Celtics, how he feels about Kawhi, what he thought about LeBron's debut last night. Rays coming up just after 5. Jim Rutherford, the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins, at 5:30. We will get into O's arbitration case with the man that was in the room.
We're not doing that.
Why can't we bring that up?
Dude, we're not doing that. We'll talk about that off air, but get the break.
Why wouldn't he want to talk about that?
Well, it was probably a hard time.
Yeah, but we can ask him what it's like to go through the arbitration.
No, we're not. We're not doing that.
So what are we going to talk to him about?
Well, we can talk to him
Brian
about...
Brian
Dumoulin? Go to break.
Kapanen. Trading Kapanen for Kessel.
I'll talk you into it. I got just over an hour. I'll work away.
Go ahead.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Bunch of people tweeting and texting in, just pointing out a sad reality from my boy Beansy.
What?
The NFL, highest ratings last night, wasn't even close. Wasn't even close.
Do you have that info? By the way, Pour Some Sugar, Def Leppard, top 10 Peel song.
So this is courtesy of sportsmediawatch.com. Very reputable.
Of course it is.
And posting the ratings down in the States. The NFL actually had a horrible night based on their standards. They did a 6.6 share in the States. And to put that into perspective, last year they had a 9.9 in week 7 or week 8, whatever it is, week 7.
Yeah.
So they did a 6.6, but game 5 of the ALCS did a 5 share. And LeBron's LA debut on TNT did a 2.6.
Wow.
So that's another L for the big guy.
A lot of people, 40 bucks.
A lot of people have been tweeting in about that, that you hear the Michael Myers theme song when I try to make a bet with you. So when I'm
what
in
does
your
that
ear,
sound like?
This is what you hear when I say, let's put that 20 on the line.
I owe you 40 bucks.
Well, we're going to have to keep a running total.
That's yeah, we'll just keep it riding. Just keep it, just roll it over. Eventually, I'm just going to take your car.
I've got a fellow creep who just sent me a message saying, was that you at Richmond Hill at the 12:15 Halloween? So he was there, too.
Look at you guys. Just creeps.
Wow. I mean, you go to movies like that by yourself. Like, that's
you
got
to have real problems.
I don't think it's a date movie. I don't think you take a date to Halloween, do you?
I don't know. I think if it's a packed house, it would be pretty fun. You know, like if you went tonight, if you went to like a 10 o'clock show.
Because there's always some dope who yells and wants to narrate and stuff. Like, that's the most annoying thing in the world. Like, just, we're not in your living room. Just shut your yap and watch the movie like everyone else.
Yeah, see, I never go to movies, so I can't remember the last time I was there in a packed house.
I refuse to go. The only, if I go on a Saturday night, I will...
Tell me you bring Steph with you.
Well, yeah.
I'll like, you don't go on your own. Like you wine and dine yourself, head out to a movie.
Nice dinner and a movie by myself. No, but I'm saying I will book the VIP seats. So, like, you...
Right.
You're in... Other people in that area know they're there for business.
Hey, relax.
Too. Exactly.
Like, what, are you trying to have a good time?
Well, no, but...
Don't get stupid.
Do you like
here.
It when people are loud
no,
in
don't.
A movie? It's annoying.
Quite frankly, I don't.
Exactly.
I hear you.
Just fires me up.
Especially at a movie. Especially at a movie where you have to follow along with the script.
Or somebody answers the phone.
Yeah, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie and some idiot's yelling the whole time. You're
exactly.
like, I'm waiting for the twist and I don't know when it's coming. All right, Raptors-Celtics tonight down at Scotiabank. Brian Scalabrine, former Raptor. Former Celtic, not a former Raptor. But Celtics analyst as well. He'll join us to tee up the game tonight. How does he feel about the coaches fawning over each other?
Who's the better team?
We'll see what he has to say about that. How does he feel about Kawhi in the East and with the Raps? So we'll catch up with Brian Scalabrine in 2 minutes. All right, Rays coming up just after 5. Jim Rutherford, GM of the Pens, in about an hour. Get back into that Leaf game last night. Pittsburgh getting past the Leafs 3-0. They're back in action with St. Louis in town tomorrow. And the Blues have been here for like 3 days. And
they may not have any legs left by
it makes you wonder. They only get up here once a year. And I guess Bozak will be recognized by the crowd, and there will be a slight or a short video, kind of like a montage of his career here.
I'm all right with that. I think that's nice.
Dubas is basically saying enough of the old Lou Lamoriello rules, and we're going to do it a little bit differently now. So
give him a little love.
We'll get to that later in the afternoon. Massive game down at Scotiabank tonight, though. Raptors, Celtics. I think everybody has concluded these are the two best teams in the East. Maybe Philly is in there. Maybe. You know, maybe Milwaukee, Washington, Indiana, but I don't see it. I think these two teams are the best two teams in the East. And joining us now is longtime NBAer, former Celtic, and now Celtics analyst. He's been with us many times. Here is Brian Scalabrine. How you doing, Brian?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing Thanks. Well. Do you agree with that statement that the Raptors and the Celtics, clearly the two best teams in the East?
Yeah. You know what I'm a little surprised with just nationally? And I don't know how it is here locally, but I don't think that Toronto's given the love that they deserve. I think that they got a bad matchup, obviously, last year against the Cavs, which is not their fault because they were a number one seed. And obviously, you know, the better you are, usually you play a worse team. But LeBron was a beast, and they don't have to deal with him anymore, even though they're better suited to deal with him. But I just think that this team is super athletic. They're versatile, just like the Celtics, and I am really looking forward to this matchup. I don't usually say that throughout the regular season, but I just am really excited about seeing these two teams tonight.
You think the players buy into both coaches saying, oh, the other team's the best team. Oh, no, the other team's the best team. I don't know. As a player, sometimes wouldn't you like your coach to say, I think we're favored. I think we're the actual best team in the East.
I think that that's kind of like the narrative that people use nowadays, even though internally I'm sure that they're saying, if you want to be the best team in the East, you got to go through Boston. You got to go through Toronto. Toronto had the best record last year. We being the Celtics, have not played well in this arena. And I even went on record last year to say, if whoever had home court advantage, if they were to match up last year, I thought the team with home court advantage would have won the series. But, you know, the out that Toronto had, it sort of has taken a little bit of the pressure off of them of being the best team in the East. But just to go in a little bit further, if Kyle Lowry and Ibaka just can maintain the level that they're playing at, you know, at the beginning of the season, towards the end of the season, then Toronto is definitely going to be Eastern Conference contender, no doubt.
Kawhi Leonard, obviously a huge story during the offseason, and he looked pretty good in game one. A little bit rusty, but that's to be expected. But how do you think Kawhi's presence changes the way Boston is going to approach the Raptors?
So he's like a guy that, and nowadays with the NBA going small, he gives the coach, you know, Nick Nurse now has the ultimate lineup flexibility. Just think about the range. Kawhi could play the 2, the 3, the 4, and you can match up any way you want. So you could put the pressure on another team and make them match up to you, or you could match up to whatever they do. You know, it wouldn't be mind-boggling to me, even though I love Siakam and Ibaka, if they put Kawhi Leonard on Al Horford, because so far, and this was last year, Dwayne Casey really felt that Al Horford was the hub of the Celtic offense, and he made a conscious effort to take him out of the offense. Well, let's just say, you know, Nick Nurse was on staff last year, so let's just say that he's part of that. Then I'd be interesting to see if Kawhi goes with like a more physical mindset, tries to take Al Horford out of the mix. But I both teams have incredible lineup flexibility. You know, I would love to see DeLon Wright today because I was a huge fan of Toronto's bench last year, but I don't think it's going to be the same. If you have watched so far, they've blended all the lineups versus like last year Casey had like his first unit and then his second unit, and he sort of blended it in the fourth quarter. But I think Kawhi Leonard just gives you all that flexibility, much more flexibility than you have with DeMar DeRozan. I'm a huge DeMar DeRozan fan.
Raptors Celtics down at Scotiabank. We're chatting with former Celtic and Celtic analyst Brian Scalabrine here on Overdrive. Gordon Hayward, one of the most gruesome injuries I've ever seen. First half of the first game of his Celtics career. And he put up pretty decent numbers. He looked comfortable in game one. The Celtics just spanked Philly. But what are you expecting? What is Boston in general expecting out of Gordon Hayward this year?
You know what? I think it's going to be different as the year goes on. I think at the start of the year, it's just a way for him to find his rhythm, find his new game. He's not, like, I don't know when it's ever going to come back or if it's ever going to come back, but he's a freak of nature athletically when he was in Utah. And maybe because he's white, like, people don't give him the credit that he deserves for being as good of an athlete as he is. But I don't know if he's still going to be able to go to the basket. Bodies are going to fly off of him, and he's going to elevate and have his elbows by the rim. That's what he was like 2 years ago. How long that takes? Does it ever come back? You know, I don't really know. But we do know that Brad has been using him with the second unit and being sort of like the playmaker guy in that unit. And he had a nice rhythm in the second quarter. But he still has yet to find that aggressive mindset with the first unit. And maybe that's going to take 3 or 4 months, but I can't wait to see him get an opportunity to turn the corner and elevate, and where he actually does is just power through the rim like he used to.
With Brian Scalabrine, we were kind of laughing about LeBron last night, where he is going to play the seasoned vet to all those kids in L.A. all season long. And he was mic'd up last night, and he was in hero mode. And I love LeBron. I've been a LeBron apologist for 15 years. But I think it's going to be insufferable. His pregame, postgame comments about Ingram learning, about Lonzo growing, about Kuzma and what he can learn.
Think about being one of the young kids listening to it every day.
I think it's going to be tough, Brian. Like, I think that's what he's getting paid for, and he's LeBron.
Tough
but
for who?
For the kids.
For the Lakers?
No, for all of us. For me. For listening to it. I think LeBron is just going to be insufferable
100%.
This year.
I thought you were saying it's going to be tough for them.
Like, No.
The whole league and everyone, I would say 98% of people in America are, like, eating this up. Like, LeBron's the greatest human being ever. He's like Gandhi out there. But, no, I'm not. I agree. But here's the thing. I do a radio show on Sirius. It's just NBA. If I didn't have LeBron, I'd probably have to quit my job because we literally would not have anything to talk about. So he dominates the conversation. And, yes, I absolutely throw him under the bus for being that, even though I'm with you. He's such a brilliant player, and I respect him as a player, but he does do a lot of goofy stuff, and I love talking about it. But you're right. It's going to be tough to deal with day in and day out, and his movie producing and the barber shop or whatever, and it's just like that he invented the idea. Yeah, the guy, he's radio gold, really, for us. I'm sure to a certain extent, you guys have to, you know, kind of jump on that as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We talk LeBron all the time. And a lot of it, again, when right. you have to just be honest about his success, about his resume. But I think he's going to call them young buck. You know, it'll be like that. This young buck needs to learn. It's like, all right, LeBron, we get it, man. Like, it's game 10. Like, relax, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you guys think you have witnessed the dominance of LeBron? Like, my whole thing is, it's not the same in the West. And as good as we can spin it the way we want to spin it, night in and night out, man, there's 10 really good teams in the Western Conference that you are going to be battling with. And I think that's going to take a wear and tear on him. So I know Laker fans are so optimistic about LeBron being there, but I don't think it's going to go as well the first year. I mean, at the end of the day, it's really going to come down to, once again, LeBron kind of creating a super team this offseason. But this year, it's going to be really interesting from his perspective, because I don't think he's going to have the type of success that everyone else thinks that he is.
I'm with you. Enjoy the game tonight. It should be a great one. Thank you, Brian.
Anytime, guys.
There's Brian Scalabrine, former Celtic and analyst with the Celts. He's right. I mean, the West, look at Portland. Portland was a playoff team last year. They're a good team. They beat up on them. They beat them by almost 10 last night. And you look at the East, Brooklyn's terrible. Charlotte's not that good. Chicago's brutal. Atlanta's awful. There's just so many, like, really bad teams. Orlando's been terrible for years. The Knicks have been awful for years.
Automatic two-point night.
It's a guaranteed win night. Like, it's guaranteed. And LeBron, you're just not going to get that out of the West. There's too many good teams. So I'm not sure what to expect out of the Lakers. But tonight should be a great night. It's going to be a fun game. Raptors-Celtics down at Scotiabank. Ray Ferraro coming up on what went down at Scotiabank last night. The Pens getting past the Leafs. We'll tee up the Blues game tomorrow night. Some other stories throughout the NHL. And Odell Beckham Jr. with one of the great hot takes of all time. We'll tell you about that next. At TSN 1050. And if you find our latest giveaway post and tag who you would be bringing to see the Raptors take on the Hornets on October 22nd, you will have a chance to win a pair of tickets. The winners will be announced on Monday during First Up with Landsberg and Koliakovo. Shout out to our boy Carlo, who's been making shirts for people around here, and he made us a few Grit Grinder t-shirts.
Very nice of Carlo.
Very, very cool stuff. So we appreciate that. But follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. So Odell Beckham Jr., who's been in the news a lot, not really because of what he's doing on the field. It's more because of what he isn't doing on the field and then what he's saying off the field.
Right.
Doing interviews with ESPN and yelling and screaming at invisible objects on the sideline. He was asked, I don't even know how this would have been broached. Like, I don't know how this topic came up. But he's got a water take. You guys want to hear this tape?
Yes, I want to hear this.
I really don't like water. I'm trying. I really just don't like it. You know, when you get that stomach feeling, it's all slushy. Like, I'm trying to stay hydrated, but, you know, sometimes I just got to get an IV. It's just necessary. You know, you're cramping in both calves. It's hard to run and make cuts. And if you're cramping and dehydrated, you're susceptible to something else. I'm trying to stay on top of it.
The guy doesn't like water. And to the point where instead he gets an IV as opposed to just drinking water.
I've never heard anything like that in my life.
He just puts water in his system, a saline.
Just inject it into me because I can't drink it. I don't like water.
What does he drink? Like pop?
He must be Gatorade? A Gatorade guy. He must be, I don't know, juice, milk. What's he drinking? I don't know. But how, like... Water, it's not like I enjoy water necessarily.
No,
but
especially in athletics, it's like it's such an important part of being an athlete. It's like water break,
but drinking
water.
Too much of it, I always felt like bloated stuff. But
obviously, but...
I like flavored, like the flavored water.
What did you have on the top of your net? Like regular water?
Yeah, I would have a little bit of like a half an or a quarter and all water, but with a little bit of Gatorade just to put a little flavor in it.
Hmm. Oh?
I would hammer Gatorade on the bench, but mostly water.
Yeah. That was the worst when you're growing up as a kid and there was like one water bottle on the bench.
Yeah, one
Remember
idiot
that?
Sucks on it instead of like there's always yeah. some dope.
The kid with the snotty nose and the cough.
It's like sucking on the end of the spout instead of drinking it. Here's something that kind of, I wanted to bring this up. You know what annoys me about the NFL, and I don't know if this is...
The guy that has to walk around and squirt...
And squirts water into people's mouth. You can't lift your own arm
I would not go
up.
To the bar and tell people that was my job.
How did you know I was going there?
Because I just knew it.
It's so annoying.
You see them walk out there, and it's like the guy just stands there.
Yeah.
Like really? You can't do
Brady
that?
Brady's sitting on the bench. Guy walks by and gives him a squirt in his mouth. He's got an arm.
Yeah,
he can lift
weird.
His arm.
It is really weird. Why can't you just drink your own water?
I think it's embarrassing if I'm the player getting something squirted in my mouth.
What kind of bar play does that equal up to? I'm the guy that does the water for the fellas.
Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, crickets, dude. You're not. It's repellent. It's female repellent.
Yes.
If you walk in and you say, "I'm literally the water boy," oh, great. Go stand over there and leave me alone.
I'm fine with the water boy. He's just doing his job. I'm
but
mad
it's a water
at the
man.
Athlete. Okay,
but it's a water
mad.
Man.
Okay, I'm mad at the athlete. That he's too lazy.
I know.
That he can't grab the water from the water man.
The only explanation I can think of is that, like, there's something in there. And okay. They're all, like, individual bottles.
Right.
And, you know, the guy's like, I have to all come to you with the water because okay. I've got it all set up. Okay, I don't know.
Brady, I know what happens when a guy's about to tell someone he's the water boy for a football team.
Like, tell a girl, you mean?
Yeah. Like you're at the bar, you're kind of grooving, you're into it, a couple songs come on. What do?
I'm a water
Call
man.
You here.
I'm a water man.
Yeah, no,
I'm a water man.
I'm a water man.
Water person.
Water person.
Yes,
you That's
can.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a water
be,
person.
It's a water person,
water person.
Right?
We've got to be correct here. But that, it always drives me nuts.
Yeah, it is really weird.
Because
it's really weird.
The camera will pan on Brady sitting there, and he just arms at his side. A guy walks by and squirts something.
But what happens with Odell Beckham Jr.? Some guy comes through with a syringe.
I don't know.
Like I guess, like he just
must.
Gets an IV
in between.
Ray's coming up, and Jim Rutherford, GM of the Pens, at 5:30.